Before we start the show, I have an announcement to make. If you're the owner of a black Buick LaCrosse sedan, your lights are on, and your hood is up, and your trunk is open, and your doors are missing, and your tires are flat.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I guess I do.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh my God.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Where's the applause? Where's the applause? There you go. That's better. That's better. Thank you. Thank you very much. So anyway, thank you. Oh my God, that is so unexpected. That is so unexpected. Thank you. Please sit down. Please sit down. Please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Of course, that was a live applause. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you. Welcome to the show. How are you? You really should live like this. You really need to do this. You really do. It works so well. What you do is you get yourself a recording of people applauding. I'll sell you mine if you want it. And it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And whenever you're feeling like no one's paying attention to you, you're alone in the world, and all that, of course, is the case, you play this applause thing. When you walk into a room, just hit the button on the recorder, you know, on the playback machine, on the Wayback machine, and you'll hear the applause and you'll feel wonderful about yourself. I mean, it doesn't even end there. You can, like, tell a stupid joke and people will laugh on a recording. It's fantastic. Yeah, I know. It is funny. I am so funny. I am very funny. I am humor. Thank you. I am very, very humorous. I am funny. So anyway, so just have a recording. Thank you. Well, I didn't even say anything. I know, I'm very, very funny. I'm very funny. I am funny. Thank you. Oh, stop it, stop it. I'm not that funny. I am not that funny. Ah, yes, I am. No, I'm not. Well, I am funny. All right. Do it. Just play it throughout the day. Have it on your person, and just it'll make you feel so good and so worthwhile, and like people love you. That's all it takes. Just a recording. It's not a lot to ask. I think you can buy one of those little playback recording machines like for like $50. Isn't it amazing? Listen to how my voice went up. Isn't it amazing how expensive things are? And when you do things very slowly and gradually, nobody realizes it's happening. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you see a little child, like a 2-year-old child, And then you don't see that child again until they're four. And all of a sudden, like, wow, that child blossomed into a genius. The child's talking and walking and doing potty trained and the whole bit. Man, it's like overnight. No, it wasn't overnight. It was 2 years ago, you schmuck. It's just you haven't seen the child in 2 years. Don't be so amazed. When you're living with the child, it's a gradual thing. You don't even realize it. Gradual things. You know, it's like, oh, I'm losing my hair. You don't realize it on a day-to-day basis. One day you look in the mirror and you go, well, what happened to my hair? It's been gradual. That's what's happened with the price of things. Wait a minute, didn't that stuff used to be cheap? How did it become this expensive? It was gradual. You didn't even realize it. Wow, that's amazing. $50, that's a lot of money. But now if you watch TV and commercials and you go shopping online to your Amazon women thing, things are all like $30 and $50. It wasn't long ago that everything was $19.95. Now it's all $39.95. What happened? How did it go up $20? It was gradual. They did it overnight while you were sleeping. Wow. It's amazing. I know. I went to a very fancy restaurant last week. I don't know if I talked about this on the show yet or not. I may have. I don't even know. I went in there to do the wee-wee thing. That's, of course, the mature way of saying you had to go to the bathroom to urinate. I did the wee-wee thing, and I did it and turned around and went to wash my hands, went to the sink, put the soap on my hands, got my hands all nice and wet and lathered up and rinsed my hands off, turned around to the towel dispenser, and I didn't see a towel dispenser. And then I looked over to the side and there was a man, very well dressed, standing near the exit of the washroom with a bunch of towels in his hands and a table next to him with even more towels. And being very intelligent, I said to myself, oh no, it's the towel man. And you have no idea what a horrible, horrible feeling that is, that there's a man standing near the exit of the washroom and you have no towel. He's got the towels. It's dramatically scary. You realize that all of a sudden you have become held hostage in a washroom and you can't leave until you get one of his towels. So I went over to him and I stared at him and he stared at me and I stared at him and he stared at me. We had a staring contest, and apparently I don't get my hands dried unless I give him at least a dollar. That, to me, is like ransom. I mean, I should have called the police and said, I'm being held in a washroom. They won't give me towels unless I give them a dollar. Is this legal? Well, yes, it is legal, unfortunately. But I had one thing up my sleeve, literally, that the washroom attendant didn't count on. I had pants. And men, when their hands are dirty or wet, they wipe them on their pants. It's our out. And it works every single time. Now, women can't do this because they're women. And no matter how bitchy or stupid a woman may be, and there are some of them, they would never wipe their wet hands on their dress or on their tightly snug-fitting jeans. No, that would be a problem. They would go back into the toilet stall and rip off some toilet tissue and get it all balled up and wet, and that they would never wipe their hands on their pants. A man, that's the first place you go. I don't even really need a towel dispenser in the men's room. We just wipe our hands on anything that's not wet. Because that's the definition of drying your hands, wiping them on something that's not already wet. So I actually stiffed this washroom attendant. I mean, I just wiped my hands on my pants and everything was fine. Within a minute, my pants are dry, my hands are dry, everybody's happy, except the washroom attendant who didn't get a dollar from me. Because I don't believe that it really takes a lot of effort for a person to stand there and hand me a towel. To me, that's not worth a dollar. Maybe 3 cents. Maybe 3 cents. Even that is pushing it. But if your job is to stand in a washroom and hand out towels and expect to be tipped for that, you pretty much need to change jobs quickly. Because that's not a job. That's gawking. That's voyeurism. I mean, I'm not going to pay a guy a dollar to hand me a towel. Now, if I go to the urinal and you want to hold my penis while I'm peeing, that's worth $5. Give you that. Still, I can do that myself. Well, usually. I can usually do that myself. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? I know. It's very, very funny. I'm very funny. I am very funny. Thank you. Thank you for knowing.
As a special surprise, thank you. Everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Watch out for that thing. We do this every single weekday, by the way. Every single weekday, a brand new show. That's pretty consistent. So join me. You can listen to all the shows, well over 1,000 of them, on the Podbean Network. They house all of our programs, all of our episodes. Or you can go to us directly. I don't know how you're listening to us, to be honest with you. Maybe you just have the window open and you live really close to me. I really don't know, but you can go to NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, NewEnglandTalkRadio.com, or you can go to your Alexa thing and ask her to play the thing. We're also on SoundCloud and TuneIn Radio and iTunes and YouTube. Every day, new episode on YouTube. I mean, it's just, and there's other stuff too. So there you go. There you have it. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about whether or not you actually like me. Now, we're going to talk about the weather. It's become very sophisticated with computer models and models who aren't computers, and it's all scientific stuff. They can pinpoint the weather happening right over your head at any given time and still get it wrong. It's amazing. It's just amazing. It really is. Hey, baby. You know, I get comments all the time. Ron, you don't seem to really like people too much. Well, you know, see, that's not accurate at all. The phrase "I don't like people too much" is really not fair and really not accurate. I almost don't like everybody all the time. I mean, there are very few people that I like. As a matter of fact, and it's not important, I don't have to like you and you don't have to like me. That's not what this is about. We're not having a relationship or anything. You know, this is, I'm just doing a stupid talk show and you're listening to it. Let's not get out of hand. Let's not get crazy about this. I mean, this is not a relationship. This is an entertainment thing. You sit down, I stand up, I talk, you leave, it's done. Maybe you come back the next day, hopefully, but other than that, there's nothing going on here. I'm not buying you anything. You're not buying me anything. I don't know anything about you. You don't know anything about me. Let's leave it that way. I really feel more comfortable. Here's how you know whether I really like you or not, and you can assume that I don't. If I go to a party or an event because I was invited to go and I showed up, that means I don't really want to be there. Always. There are no exceptions. If you sent me an invitation and I showed up, It's because I felt guilty. Because somehow my parents resonated in my head, Ron, you really should go. You should try to be more socialized with the human race. As much as you don't understand them, I get it. But you should try to socialize yourself. It's what people are supposed to do. Oh, okay, fine. So if I show up at your event and you invited me, it's not because I want to be there. You can immediately assume I will do everything I can either to leave immediately or to vastly shorten my visit with you. Now, if I call you or I show up to a place and I don't seem to want to leave at that point, that means I like you. It's really not hard to figure out. Because there's so many circumstances where I just don't want to be there. And I'm sure that's the same with you. Unless you were a cheerleader in high school, then your social skills are all messed up. You'll do anything, anywhere, for anybody. You probably have worked in a washroom before handing out towels. That didn't bother you. And I know people like that. I know people who are just so damn happy all the time. It's nauseating. You feel like taking them by the shoulders and shaking them and saying, snap out of it. This isn't right.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap?
Yes, I am.
Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped. And you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Thank you. Here's the problem. We don't have boundaries anymore. With this new president guy, there are no boundaries. Anything goes. Everything is fair game. You can destroy anything in your path, like some type of bizarre, out-of-hand video game, where things are blown up all over the place, and you don't know where it's all coming from, and you're just overwhelmed, and you lose the game. That's pretty much what I feel like I'm in right now. Here's what we need to do. If you run into somebody that you haven't seen in a while, or one of your neighbors is just talking about how nice the weather is or something like that, you should be able to start a clock. It should be a 30-second, maybe a 60-second clock if you're really generous. And as soon as you start talking to them and you realize that this conversation is going absolutely nowhere whatsoever, that everybody's time is being wasted, you take out this little stopwatch and you hit start. And they have a minute to get all that crap out of their system. It's wonderful weather, isn't it? Oh, it's cold outside. Hey, how about that? Hey, did you hear about Bob down the street? He's got syphilis. And, you know, get it all out of your system. Get it all out. When the minute is over, a little buzzer will go off. You need to hear a little buzzer because it needs to stop things in motion. That way no one has to say, whoops, time is up. The device actually says that by going, so you don't even have to explain it. And the guy says, what is that? And you say, oh, that's our time is up. I'm sorry, our time is up. I do have a life. I don't know if you noticed that or if you even respect the fact that I have other things to do that are more important than talking about the weather to a guy standing here in his shorts. So time is up. Good seeing you again. Not really, but I'll say that anyway. Until the next time we can use the 60-second stopwatch, you have yourself a nice day. Bye now. Bye. That's the way life should be. And the other person should respect that and say, oh, the buzzer did go off. I guess our time is up. Thank you for this minute. You're welcome. That's all. It's not an insult to you. It's not an insult to anybody. It just is what it is. Life is quite short, and you don't realize that till you start to get to the end of it. And then you say, where's my stopwatch? Oh, my God, where's my stopwatch? I can't let anything go on for more than a minute. I'm finding that now when I go to supermarkets and there's a long line and my cart is filled with frozen foods and ice cream, I start to get pissed. There should be, not an express lane, but a frozen food lane. For people that have ice cream and perishable items, they should be able to go through a particular lane that moves very quickly. I think that's the way it should be. So when I'm online and I'm just standing there and I'm like fifth online with, and everybody in front of me has got full grocery carts and the stupid store hasn't decided to hire enough people to handle the influx of business, like you wouldn't want the influx of business, hire some cashiers. Get some more people in there really quickly. You got 1 minute. I start to get pissed. Here's what I do, and you're going to think I'm a horrible person, and you'd probably be right. Here's what I do. If I'm standing online and there's not enough checkout registers available in a supermarket and the line isn't moving, and I start to realize not only do I have things to do, but I'm that much closer to death, I will take the cart, turn around, leave it in the aisle, and walk out of the supermarket. But Ron, first of all, isn't that nasty? I mean, isn't the supermarket, that food is going to just rot in that supermarket basket until a clerk comes along? Yeah, lesson learned. Yeah. So that the clerk goes to the store manager and says, you know, people are starting to leave their food in the middle of the supermarket because they can't check out fast enough and they're pissed. Well, then the store managers say, well, we better hire some more people. We're wasting a lot of money here on food that people are just leaving in the aisle and walking out of the store. That would be a lesson to them, wouldn't it? Now, I don't do it a lot. I haven't done it a lot in my life, but I have done it. I will admit it. Because lessons need to be taught anonymously. And, damn it, I guess I'm the person that has to teach these lessons. They're teaching moments for them. I do get pissed. I do. A supermarket and a store know very well when their store gets busy. They know that very, very well. It's not the first time they've opened their doors. They see the pattern rather quickly, and they know how many people they should have on that checkout line. But they get cheap about it. Well, the customers can just wait in line. We're only going to have two cashiers on a busy day. The customers will just, the line will get longer, but they'll stand online. No, they won't. Not Ron. He'll leave the merchandise somewhere else in the store and walk out. And that's a lesson to you. See, me doing it by myself doesn't help. I want you to do that as well. When you get pissed, go to another store. Just go to another store. I'd rather waste my time in another store and screw the one I'm in than stand in line like some type of a, like a stooge. That's what I am. I'm a stooge. I'm just like a stooge. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the weather. And it may take more than a minute.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
Piggy parts. I want piggy parts.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie. How are you today?
Doing well.
Great. Bonnie Schneider is national television meteorologist, and she's the author of the book Extreme Weather. Weather has become quite a subject these days. It seems to be a matter of importance. It gets more intense, and we need to know about it beforehand more than ever. Weather's become quite a subject matter.
Yeah, it really has, especially in Boston. I went to college at Boston University, and I did the weather for Channel 56 a few years ago.
Oh, yes.
And I remember, yeah, and it was, that's a tough area to forecast for, because you really do get all extremes, and depending if you live on the coast or you're near the Cape and the islands, boy, you could really get some strong wind. And we saw that this year in Boston with all the nor'easters that hit. I mean, there were 90-mile-per-hour winds that hit areas south of Boston. So being prepared for extreme weather is so important, and that's why I just want to make sure everyone is weather aware that we're coming into the heart of hurricane season, which will be later in September. It's been a quiet season so far, but with the battering that the coastline in Boston and New England's already experienced, I think that, unfortunately, if we get more storms, it could cause more damage. So it's just important that people are more weather aware.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And now, of course, on our smartphones, we actually get alerts, where that never happened before. I mean, this is just a whole different ball game, which is great in that sense, but it also makes us more aware of things. And the question is, how do you prepare for extreme weather that can come? Are you ready for it? If you wait till the last minute till you're alerted, then many times you're out of materials, etc.
Yeah, that's so true. Like if you're going to your hardware store to be prepared, everything is already sold out. And, you know, Esurance did a study this year in 2018 that they found, they interviewed 1,000 Americans, and while 80% of the people said, yes, we're concerned about extreme weather on the rise, only 17% said that they were actually personally prepared. So I think your point is well taken, that people know it's out there, but they're not preparing. So, yeah, I do have some tips of how people can prepare, and a lot of that's using modern technology that you mentioned. We all use our smartphones to get the weather alerts, but you can also use them to take pictures of everything in your house. And this is a good idea to do once a year, since we tend to, you know, get rid of things, add things. And this way, for insurance purposes, when and if you have to file a claim, you can do it immediately, and it's up to date. So you know what it looked like before, and if there's property damage, then you'll know what it looked like after.
What types of items do you concentrate on? You can't take a picture of everything. Is it a general room view, or is it expensive items? What do you do?
I would recommend doing at least two or three views per room. So this way you're getting floor to ceiling. You want to show, in case there was flooding, for example, you want to show what the carpet looks like. You want to show what your belongings look like. If you have, of course, you know, more expensive electronic items. But it's just a general idea of your house. You also want to take pictures of the exterior of your home. Don't forget to do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't take more than a few minutes, but this way it'll be one less thing to worry about, because as we deal with these disasters, there's so much stress anyway. This is just one less thing to have to be concerned about. Other technology tips that you may not have already thought of is if you can just invest in smart home sensors, alert devices, and if you have any kind of security camera for your home, you can turn it away from your home, and this way you can monitor the street around your home. If there's any downed wires, that would be helpful. And a lot of us on our phone already have this. Let's say if you're someone that is calling internationally to people, you may have an app that enables Wi-Fi to call, because cell phone service will often be lost in the event of an emergency. So having the electronic capability, I think, is so important. And, of course, make sure everything is charged in your house and your car is full of gas and things like that.
Yeah. Hey, Bonnie, here's a great idea. We can go into business together. Maybe you can. Batteries, I don't think, have technologically come far enough to the point where you have a small battery that can power things like for a day or two or three. There are generators. They're extremely expensive, but nobody seems to have invented a battery that will take care of business when you lose power, which you probably will.
Yeah, well, the one thing I can tell you about batteries is that they can last a long time in your shelf or your pantry.
Uh-huh.
So just having extra ones ready, even if they're 6 months old, usually they're still good.
Okay.
So being prepared for that is important. And make sure all of your personal valuables are secure, you know where everything is. And also in my book, Extreme Weather, I recommend that each family has a disaster plan in place so they can communicate with each other. In the event of an emergency, it's nice to have an out-of-town person as a contact person, because sometimes you're all trying to reach each other at the same time, and if there's an out-of-town person, that helps.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't have to be weather that causes damage as well, too.
That's true. I mean, there's all sorts of natural disasters, and
absolutely.
Or just in the case of an emergency, having that family disaster plan will really make a difference.
Wow. Very cool. I never thought of this. So I'm going to start taking pictures of my house just in case. Well, yeah. Someday I won't even remember where it is, so that's pretty cool. Do you clean the house first, or do you show it in all its glory of a mess? What's the smartest way to do that?
I would recommend, this is just personally, yes. I would recommend having it tidied. You know, it doesn't have to be spotless. It's not about the cleanliness, but it is maybe about the clutter, because if you have clothes everywhere, it's not going to be easily depicted.
Right. Then you can't see what's really going on.
Right.
This is great information. I would have never thought of doing that. I'm going to do that.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you so much. Where do we get more information? Of course, the book is Extreme Weather, and that's available everywhere. Where else can we get information about how to secure and prepare?
Esurance.com/insights, and you'll get more tips on how to be ready electronically for extreme weather, and of course more information just in general about how to prepare and make sure that you definitely take those measures, because I hate to see people after the fact thinking, oh, I just should have taken pictures, you know, so that would have been easier.
Also, I mean, speaking of insurance, if you get a valuable item into your home, people usually don't insure that item. It's like, let's say you buy a piano. You don't call your insurance company usually and say, hey, I got a piano, increase my rates. But at the same time, you really should include that. It's not necessarily a blanket item sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say take pictures of everything that is important to you.
Uh-huh.
This way you have evidence that you purchased it, that you it's in your home, and what year. And again, doing that yearly, this would be a great time of year now, but just in case we deal with anything tropical later in the season.
Yeah. I always say keep receipts. I put them in a box and never look at them again until someday you need them. There they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Bonnie, thanks. You've sparked a lot of great ideas, and appreciate your time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today and for you as well. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. That would be really nice. It'd be really nice of you to do something nice for a change. Until then, I wish you peace. I'm exhausted.